And I'm here in the Alaska Airlines studio with State Senator Kevin Meyer. Now, sir, you just won a Republican straw poll for the primary position of Lieutenant Governor.
Yes, that's correct, Glenn. We had the Republican State Convention in Anchorage this weekend, and we had a district Republican convention here in Juneau. I believe that was the latter part of January. And so, yes, I'm happy to say that I thought the convention was very successful. We had over 300 people at the convention. We decided the platform. We decided where the party's going to go forward. We had a panel of millennials who spoke on why they are Republican. And so it was good to see a lot of these young people at the convention. And I think what was even better was just the diversity. I mean, several African-American millennials, as well as Filipino, Alaska Native, and just all across the spectrum. And it was kind of fun because the panel was actually led by Nick Begich. And of course, with a name like Begich, you would think, well, what's he doing at a Republican convention? And he is also a millennial, and he gave his reasons for wanting to be a Republican. And so, and then they just went down the line. Everybody kind of gave their reason. You know, I think the overwhelming reason was just the freedom and the liberty to succeed and to fail. You know, having that right and that ability and that encouragement is a pillar of the Republican platform.
If I could ask, sir, if the question was put to you, why are you a Republican? How would you answer?
Yeah, I think it'd be the same answer. It's just that people need to have the freedom of choice, the freedom to succeed, and the freedom to then, when they do succeed, to be able to keep the money that they earn and the success that they have. And I think that certainly government plays a role, and we talked about that as well. There are some people who are just disadvantaged, disabled, what have you, that maybe have been given a short card in life, and we need to help them, whether it be us as individuals or through government.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a panel of millennials. Mm-hmm. When young people are looking at the Republican Party, what do you think, how to put this correctly? How do you think the Republican Party is serving young people in particular?
Well, I think, again, especially young people today, I think are more entrepreneur-oriented. Mm-hmm. Certainly, they know how to use technology much better than I do, and most people probably over age 40, and they realize that with this advantage that we have now with technology and the iPhones, computers, etc., that they have goals and aspirations to start their own business and to be successful, and they just want to be able to do that without having a whole lot of hurdles put in their place. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the direction of the economy as well. Governor Parnell spoke one night, and he was actually introduced by his rural advisor at the time, John Moeller, who's from here in Juneau. And he mentioned that the economy is headed in the wrong direction, and certainly we all agree with that. We're in a mild recession. And we talked about how we can refocus the government, whether it be the governor or the lieutenant governor, on how we grow our economy and how we can attract outside money rather than taxing people. And just when you do that, you're just recycling money. You're taking it from one person and giving it to government, and then government gives it to somebody else. But to take advantage of the new administration, the Secretary of Interior, of course, has been up here many times, and they want to help us open up lands for development, for fishing, for timber, certainly military and oil and gas and tourism are all big things here that we have going for us, and we just need to take advantage of it. If we don't, that's our own fault. And so we need the leadership at the governor and lieutenant governor's level to make sure that we progress in that area and that we build our economy and give people opportunity to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Before I landed at KINY, I used to work for a lot of small businesses. Mm-hmm. And the consistent struggle that it seems like small business owners are facing is that they have to pay an extraordinary amount of tax, and entrepreneurs as well. How do you propose that we, create a fair tax system where people that are working hard are still, paying their fair way, but they're not, being broken by the system?
Well, that's a good point. When you have your own business, you do pay a business tax, whether you're a corporation or some other status. And then also, of course, if we do an income tax, then whatever money you would earn, you would also have to give to government. And again, taking money out of the private sector to feed the public sector, the government, only ensures that you're growing the government and at the expense of the private sector. So what we need to do is make sure that we don't overburden these young entrepreneurs, these young businesses with too much taxes, so that they can't make it, or that they go elsewhere with their idea, with their business, and rather than stay here in Alaska.
So would you say that the solution is just to lower the tax rate, maybe a flat tax, or like how do we solve the problem?
Yeah, well, the that's an issue that we currently have in the legislature before us. So as you know, I am still a sitting senator, and that's a tough issue. We feel like that the smartest way to do it and still have money to efficiently run government, because as I mentioned, there are certainly government services that we have to have and that we need to have, corrections, public safety, and Medicaid, etc. We could implement taxes, and again, take it from those who, if it's an income tax, take it from those who are working, and again give it to government. Or we could treat everyone basically the same and do what's called a percent of market value, where basically you reduce the PFD to a certain extent, and then the extra permanent fund earnings then go into government to fund the education, public mm-hmm. safety, and things like that. That way, everybody has skin in the game. Everybody, we don't need to hire a whole bunch of people to collect that, because the permanent fund corporation would just know. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the direction that the Senate is headed, and I think that the House and the governor is also headed in that direction. We just want to do that without having to pass a whole bunch of taxes.
Okay.
Because taxes don't, as you know, once they're started, they don't seem to go away. We're hoping that once we build the government and grow the government, you get more oil production, then you won't have the need for the taxes. And frankly, you could go back to the old rate of the dividend if we get enough income back into the state through our resources.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you're concerned with protecting Medicaid. Mm-hmm. I would ask, I read this article in the Juneau Empire recently by James Brooks saying that if something isn't done in the legislature, that Medicaid is going to run out by the end of the month. Could you speak to that?
Sure. Yeah, every year we budget so much for Medicaid and Medicaid expansion. And this year in particular, we were caught off guard in that more people needed Medicaid assistance than what was budgeted for. And so what happens then is that the government has to go ahead and pay that, and then they, through a supplemental budget, they'll ask us to make that up. A supplemental, then that's not unusual. The supplemental budget is for those things that you couldn't budget for, you couldn't plan for. Typically, you know, if you have a summer with a lot of fires or floods or et cetera, mm-hmm. then that will, the government has to pay for it, and then they'll come back and ask for reimbursement through the supplemental budget. And that's what happened with Medicaid, is just more people and needed that assistance than what we had budgeted for or expected. Mm-hmm.
So is the fix to that something that's going to happen within the month, or like how does that work out?
Yeah, no, I think that it does need to be taken care of. I think by end of this month, okay. and it is in the supplemental budget, and the supplemental budget is working through the process, and mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why it won't be done by the end of this month in time to meet that deadline.
Okay. Let's see. I want to know, how did you wind up getting to the position of State Senator Kevin Meyer? Because, you know, I met you just 10 minutes ago. You know, I'd be really interested to know like what your origin story is.
Sure. You know, like so many people that come to Alaska, you didn't think you were going to be here that long. And I've been here now almost 40 years. So, and been married for 37 years. And so this is definitely our home. And it was actually an oil company that brought me up. I'm a farm boy from Nebraska and was fortunate enough to work two or three jobs to get enough money to go to college and got a degree at the University of Nebraska. And then Phillips Petroleum hired me. They kind of moved me all around the lower 48. Finally, they moved me up to Alaska. I was going to move me again. And I said, no, I want to stay. And so I stayed. But I've always felt like, you know, Alaska's been so good to me that, and the people here, as you know, Glenn, are all really good people. So I want to give back. And I thought one way to do that was through community service. And, you know, one thing leads to another. Once you volunteer for one thing, then pretty soon they're asking you to run for office, which I did in 1993, ran for the Anchorage Assembly. And then, yeah, I was just about termed out on that. And then in 2000, I ran for the State House and was lucky enough to win the State House, and then in 2008, my senator retired, so I ran for his seat and was fortunate enough to get elected to the Senate as well. And so, you know, I've served on just about every committee that we have in the legislature. I've held every leadership position, can have Senate President, Senate Majority Leader, Rules Chairman, and of course the Finance Chairman. And I think that actually plays well for somebody who's running for lieutenant governor, because I think people look at the lieutenant governor as that person that if something happens to the governor, can he or she step up and fill in fairly quickly and in a smooth transition. I think it's even more important for the lieutenant governor to have prior experience than, say, the governor, because I think some people are looking at President Trump, for example, who had no experience, and he's doing a pretty good job, but he does have a vice president who has a lot of legislative experience, who's helping from the governing standpoint.
Coming from the oil industry, how do you see the future of oil and its relationship to Alaska?
Well, I think every article I've read and seen is that the demand for oils is going to continue to increase until about 2040. By year 2040, renewables renewables should start taking over, and the need for oil will be less. Now gas is still a fossil fuel, but some don't see it as bad as oil. So I think you'll see natural gas will continue to increase in demand, as well as you'll start seeing people switch over to more renewables. You know, right now, you know, like electric cars are making a presence, but the batteries just aren't that big enough to use in other like trucks and maybe even airplanes someday. But that, you know, that technology is still not here yet, and so it's going to be a while that we're going to need oil, and that's why I believe we should go after as much oil as we can now, because 25 years from now, the demand will be less, and the oil doesn't do you any good in the ground.
So, Senator Meyer, how would you deal with the opioid crisis as the lieutenant governor?
Sure. You know, as a lieutenant governor, there isn't a whole lot that you can do. I mean, your job is to ensure fair elections and elections with integrity. I mean, because let's face it, that's what makes the United States of America stand out from the other countries, is our strong democracy. So if people don't trust the voting process and they don't vote, then that hurts your democracy. So that's the main job of the lieutenant governor, as well as the initiatives, referendums, and things like that. But what we've done on the opioids, working with the governor, is we passed several bills. One in particular that comes to mind is a doctor or physician, chiropractor, whoever is allowed to prescribe opioids, can only do a 7-day supply. Then if the patient still needs relief from pain, he or she has to come back to the doctor, and then the doctor can review what's going on, what is the problem. Because in the past, I know my daughter had her wisdom teeth taken out a couple years ago and was given a 30-day supply of Oxycontin, and she really didn't need anything for the pain. But here we had, you know, 30 pills of Oxy. So I think that's going to help a lot, and certainly just bringing the whole thing, making it aware to people that these pain pills are addicting. And I think there were some problems there, as that's perhaps some of the pharmaceuticals misled the docs in thinking that it wasn't addicting. And in fact, the state is now joined other states in suing at least one of the pharmaceutical companies that is the main supplier of the opioids. But certainly the addiction to opioids and other drugs, as well as a high unemployment, has led us to the to a high crime rate, and that's a serious issue that we're dealing with. But I think that the opioid thing is better, and we're going to see less and less problems associated with that. Because again, you got the pharmacists working with us, the doctors are working with us, and just the general public has become more aware. And then obviously, as I mentioned earlier, if we can grow our economy and people have jobs, that's going to help with the high unemployment rate that we have as well. So those two things, I think, will help, and as well as a greater law enforcement presence with the crime problem. And certainly, like I said, the opioid crisis is a major part of the crime problem that we're currently having.
And then I would ask, the United States is in this balancing act right now between the state's rights to have marijuana sales recreational here in Alaska, but the federal government still views it as illegal. How do we walk the line, you know, moving forward, between protecting businesses and enforcing laws?
Yeah, you know, and that's a tough one, because I know a lot of businesses have drug tests and they use the federal standard on what's legal and what's not legal. So it's unfortunate that somebody who may think, hey, I'm smoking pot, it's legal, why can't I have a job? But anybody who's getting federal money certainly is going to go with the federal standards and federal guidelines. As far as we're concerned, as state government, that the people of the state of Alaska spoke clearly that they want recreational marijuana, and so that's what we're going to uphold and defend and pursue until the feds, who trump all the states, of course, come in and say, you're not going to do that anymore. But, you know, they haven't done that yet, and I don't think they're going to do that. And I say that because so many states now have legalized recreational marijuana, or certainly medicinal marijuana, if not recreational marijuana. So in my mind, the momentum is there nationwide, and I can't see the feds now stepping in and saying, we're not going to let you do that. But stranger things have happened, I suppose, Glenn.
And then last one, this will be quick, I think. Okay. Why are you going to win?
Why am I going to win? I think, and again, I feel really good in here in Southeast with the support I've been getting from, of course, you know, my goal, my focus right now is to win the Republican primary, which is in August. Then after that, you get teamed up with whoever won the Republican primary for governor. And then you go against whoever the Democrats put up, or in the case of Governor Walker, I'm not sure if he's running as an independent or as a Democrat this time. But I just think having the experience that I have, you know, I mentioned to you that the lieutenant governor, people look at that person as someone who can step in and be governor if that needs to be. And so having the experience that I've had, both from a private sector standpoint, as I mentioned to you, I worked for an oil company for a long time, you know, and I have a master's degree in business administration, but I also have a master's degree in public administration. So I've had this dual role all my life between a public sector and a public servant. And so I think that makes me a better, well-rounded person to be the lieutenant governor.
Sweet. Well, thank you for coming in the studio. Yeah.
Thank you, Glenn.